Book of Genesis, chapter 1. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. Nothing like the Spirit of the Lord. The world makes fun of it. The denominational churches don't believe in it. But if you ever felt it, I can read in the Bible and in the New Testament when Jesus touched people, the Bible, several different times, the Bible, but they went running and leaping for joy. You know, you just get touched just right. I've heard Brother L.D. Moore say that, was it that one gentleman that came to church and he said I think somebody got the Holy Ghost or something and they was fell in the church floor there and just worshiping the Lord. And one old man, elder man, said, if I have to get it that way, I ain't going to get it. I'll never get it. Well, you got to know L.D. Moore. He said, how do you think he got it? That's what L.D. said. You remember L.D.? He was an old Indian preacher. How do you think he got it? He was down on the floor. And don't say what you won't do, because the Lord just might, you know. Anyways, I appreciate the Spirit of God. And good to see everybody. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I am aware of the time. It's 22 minutes tell. And I can hear somebody saying, you ain't never preached for 22 minutes. I heard somebody say that. Seemed like I. But I have. I've preached radio broadcast. You just preach and watch that clock. It don't matter if you're anointed or not anointed. When that clock strikes the right hour, you just shut her down and go home. But anyways, I have something on my heart. And Genesis chapter 1. And verse 1, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, what's the next word? God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. We thank you for your Spirit. It's been here, Lord, from the first song. Spirit of God moved here in the worship service, Lord. And I would much rather the Spirit of God move, but Lord, it seemed like it just meant for me to preach. And so here it is, Lord, and I give it to you. I'm nothing without you. And I ask God that you'd anoint me, give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. You know who's here. You know what they're facing. You know what they're going through. Help my words be seasoned with salt. Let me say exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. In Christ's name, we pray, and everybody says, amen. I want to preach on in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In Genesis 1 and 1, we have an introduction that just immediately gets our attention. It is an introduction that not only gets our attention, but holds it throughout the entire Bible. Throughout the Bible and even throughout all the ages. In the beginning, God. God steps out suddenly of eternity and introduces himself in the pages of the first verse of the Bible. The word Genesis means beginnings. In Genesis, we see the beginning of all things. We see the beginning of such things as the universe, the human race, marriage, the family, and even death. Human government. Nations, races, languages, trades, occupations, labor, and there's many other things that I won't mention. The book of Genesis, from Genesis, the first chapter to the last chapter of this book, covers around 2,500 years of human history, from creation of Adam to the death of Joseph. Basically, it basically gives us the history of three families. Those three families are the family of Adam, the family of Noah, and the family of Abraham. Genesis, we see the beginning of the human race and the Hebrew race. But the most important fact about the book of Genesis is that we meet God for the first time. I want us to consider the first four words of this book, in the beginning, God. They're not just the four words of the book of Genesis or the first four words of the book of the Bible. They are the first and foremost revelation of God. In the first 31 verses of Genesis, God is mentioned 32 times. I think he's trying to say something here in his first chapter, don't you? Even if you count the person a pronoun, that God is mentioned 43 times in the first 31 verses of chapter 1. Genesis 1 is more than a revelation of creation. It is a revelation of the Creator. Creation is the object of Genesis chapter 1, but God is the subject of Genesis chapter 1. I want to deal first of all with the declaration of God. Stay with me. I've got 17 minutes left. The first statement in Genesis and in the Bible is a statement about God. We see God revealing himself. We see God making himself known in this opening statement. First, we see the existence of God. We are told right off the bat, Brother Richard, that there is a God. He doesn't try to explain himself. He doesn't try to prove that he is God. He demands you and I to believe in him. Amen. We're told that there is a God, the existence. At the very beginning, the matter, at the very beginning of the matter of atheism. Anybody's ever heard of atheism, of course? Atheism is the belief that there is no God. But it is answered in the four words of the first verse. In the beginning, God. Amen. I remember Genesis 1 and 1 does not seek to prove the existence of God. It seeks to proclaim the existence of God. It does not argue the existence of God. It assumes the existence of God. I remember reading a quote, and I looked it up years ago by a Russian astronaut, if I pronounce his name right. It is like German Tetto, T-I-T-O-Y. German Tetto said after he returned back from space, quote, some people say there is a God out there, but in my travels around the earth all day long, he said, I looked and didn't see him. I saw no God nor angels. I don't believe in God. Well, the Bible said in Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I remember reading the illustration of the little colored boy shining a man's shoes who was an atheist. And the man was just, others were sitting around, and the man that was getting his shoes shined was just bragging how that he did not believe in God and he was an atheist. And the little colored boy speaks up and says, Saws, the Bible said that a fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Said, but you done blabbed it out of your mouth. Praise God. Let's move on. An atheist was complaining to a Christian that Christians had all the holidays and atheists didn't have any. He said, you have Easter, the atheist did. You got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, you got the National Day of Prayer and others. And the Christian said, well, you got one. And the atheist said, what? And the guy said, it's April Fool's Day. But the natural assumption of the human heart and mind is that there is a God. It is unnatural to the heart and mind not to believe in God. How does a person become an atheist? They choose. It ain't natural. They choose to believe there is no God. The atheist may proclaim that there is no God, but he cannot prove there is no God. There is much proof. They'll say, prove to me that there is a God. Well, the Christian should say, prove to me that there's not. Huh? There is much proof that there is a God, but there is no proof that he does not exist. Atheism is a choice. I remember hearing L.D. Moore tell the story of a Christian young man that was in a college class of the one of the elite colleges of our day, and the atheist, the professor was an atheist, and so he was going to explain that there was no God. So he, in that class of 30 or 40 students, he said, "Has anybody ever seen God?" Of course, nobody raised their hand. "Has anybody ever shook hands? Have you ever seen God?" Nobody. So therefore, there is no God. That Christian young man took about as much as the atheist professor could take. And finally, he said, stood up, said, "Can I say something?" The professor said, "Yes." He said, "Can I ask a question? Is there anybody here ever seen the professor's brain?" Huh? He said, "Well, therefore, let it be declared that the professor has no brain." And O.L.D. Moore, he said, "Have you ever seen electricity?" He said, "I've never seen electricity." He said, "But I felt it." Huh? "Have you ever seen pain?" "You can't x-ray pain. You can't see pain, but you know pain is real because you have felt it." Thank you, Holy Ghost. I don't know where this is coming from, but I remember reading another story of a little boy having a kite, and the kite was way up into the clouds where you couldn't even see it. I mean, he had tied string after string. Somebody come by and asked the little boy, said, "How in the world do you even know it's up there?" And the little boy said, "Well, every now and then I feel a tug." Woo! There is a God. Amen. I'm glad that I know God. Dwight Eisenhower, the famous president of days gone by, said, "It takes no brains to be an atheist." That was a good quote by him. "Any stupid person could deny the existence of a supernatural power because man's physical senses cannot detect it. But there cannot be ignored the mystery of the first life, or the marvelous order in which the universe moves about us. All of these evidence, the handiwork of a beneficial deity, for my part," he said, "the deity is the God of the Bible and Christ his son." Amen. I want to talk to you not only about the existence of God, but let's look at the eternalness of God in these first four words, amen, of Genesis 1. And this opening statement, we not only have the answer to atheism, but we also have the answer to pantheism. That is a doctrine or a belief that believes that God is just nature and in nature. You ever heard of Mother Nature? Well, I'm sorry, there is no such thing as Mother Nature. And amen, that's philosophy is not correct. God is not nature. We find a beginning in Genesis 1, but not a beginning of God. Don't ever forget that. God is not nature, for he was before nature. God existed before anything or anyone. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen. I know it's hard for you to imagine. It's hard for us to imagine something without a beginning. But God had no beginning. Don't ever forget that. Because the atheist will just rack you up if you don't know your Bible. God had no beginning. Isaiah 57:15 said, "For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Psalms 90:2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth in the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Even in the Revelation series that we've been dealing with, we've seen that he is the God that was, he is the God that is, and he is the God of the future. He is just as much in the past as he is in the present, and he is God in the future. If time would last 1,000 years, which there's no way possible, I feel like, according to the scripture, let alone, I don't even believe it hardly lasts 100, let alone 1,000. But to prove my, say what I'm trying to say, even God knows exactly what would happen 1,000 years from now. He knows every person that is alive, every hair on their head. He knows every star. He is God. He is omnipotent. He's almighty. He's powerful and all-knowing. Can you say amen? Amen. Not only do you see the existence and the eternalness of God, but let's look at the exclusiveness of God. not only see that atheism and pantheism is an answer, is answered in the first four words of the opening statement in the Bible, but also polytheism. Polytheism is a belief that there is more than one God. Now, I'll tell you something. I believe that that belief is probably more stronger now than ever before. With Islam and Allah and all the religions of the world. But let me declare something to you. By Genesis 1 and 1, there is only one God. And beside him, there is no other. Hello. We ought to shout a little while on that one. Amen. Genesis 1:1 declares that there was a time when there was nothing but God. He was not one among many gods. He was the only God. There was nothing else, and there was none else. Amen. There was no one else. If there is more than one God, then the God of the Bible had to create them. Yet nowhere do we read in the Bible that God ever created other gods. It's foolish to even think of such things. The many gods of this world were created by man. Amen. Not by God. Deuteronomy 4:35 says this, unto thee it will show thee that what that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. Man has made gods out of the sun. Man has made gods out of the moon, out of the stars, out of the trees. You ever see a tree hugger? But they have, ain't they? They've made gods out of everything. That's the hour that we're living in. Why do you think in the last days the attack of Christ and Jesus is so much being attacked? Brother Jonathan mentioned a few Sunday mornings ago on John Osteen that he brought on Nationals, Larry King Live, I think it was, stated that there is could be other ways to God except and through and by Christ. And he pastors 20-some thousand people, I think, in Texas, isn't it? And can you imagine a pastor telling his people, 20-some thousand, that Jesus is the way for me, but there could be other ways? I'll tell you what, he hasn't read the book. All right, something's wrong. He ain't read the same book I got. You read the same King James Version Bible I got. You'll say that there, if any man cometh up, amen, by any other way, he is the same as a thief and a robber. I believe the Bible, huh? I'm gonna tell you, there is just one God, amen, and I'm glad I serve that God. Amen. Lean on the Bible, church. Get you a good old-fashioned King James Bible. Amen. Hold it to your breast. You can trust it when you can't trust a preacher. You can trust it when you can't trust a deacon. You can trust the Bible when you can't trust a denomination. Stay close to the Word of God. I walked in this morning and went back and said hello to my deacon and the Sunday school teacher and a great friend, Brother James Island. Brother James handed me a piece of paper and said, look at this, read this, about the coming of the Lord. And somebody has put out that Jesus is coming. Just want to give you some information here. You might want to see your house or something. May the 21st, 2011. You read it, Brother David. So, you know, a person that would send out a flyer in the mail and sign his name to it. What did you say, Brother Russell? Dumb. That's I can't say the word. I mean, it'd be bad. It'd just stupid, idiot, foolish. I mean, it'd just be unreal. He hadn't read the book. He hadn't read the book. Amen. Well, I'm thankful for serving God, aren't you? What do you think about the Bible? Well, I think about the Bible like this. I believe if St. Paul were standing right here this morning and for the next few minutes could speak to you, and him seeing America in the state of a moral collapse, him seeing, amen, the traditional family coming unraveled, seeing America society considering the concept of men marrying men, seeing the Ninth Circuit Court in California ruling the phrase one nation under God is unconstitutional. I believe if St. Paul was here this morning, he would flat footed, amen, shout with all of his strength to everyone in this church today, believe God's Bible, live by God's Bible, and die by God's Bible. Amen. I hold in my hand the most powerful weapon that God has ever allowed the human flesh, amen, to handle. The living, eternal, infallible, inherent, Holy Ghost inspired, indestructible, living Word of God. The doctrine of the Bible is holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are immutable. You read it to be wise. You believe it to be saved, and you practice it to be holy. There, this word is a light unto my pathway. It is the bread of life for the hungry. It's meat for men. It's the milk for children. It is the living water to those who thirst. I'm saying if Paul was standing here now, he'd tell you this. It is honey in the rock that satisfies the soul. The only thing that will satisfy you is the eternal Word of God. You got a preacher that don't preach from a King James Version Bible, run as fast as you can. Call me old fashioned, call me old fogey, that's fine. I've done read the book, I've studied, I've seen some of those other translations, I've studied the difference to a degree, I've studied where the Bible came from. I'm just going to stick with the King James Version Bible myself. Now you can be different, hey, but you can be wrong if you want to, but I'm going to, which I don't think there's nobody here like that. A dog, Paul would say, is satisfied with a dry bone. A bird is satisfied with last year's bird's nest. A cow would be satisfied with it, but the only thing that will satisfy you, a true child of God, is the eternal Word of God. You don't read this book, it reads you. Whew. Let me read that again. You don't read this book reads you. It tells you who you really are, not who you think you are. I've had a homosexual one time, a lesbian, tell me that she found in the Bible where she could be right. Well, I'm sorry. Amen. She read the Bible wrong. She read something wrong. No way. Amen. This Bible will tell you the truth. People who have a Bible that's fallen apart have a life that's not. When you listen to one of the founding fathers of America, Abraham Lincoln, said this. He said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 48. He said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. This is the greatest book that has ever been written in human history. But the Bible, it is greater than other books, as the oceans are greater than a single drop of water. When you compare the Bible to any other book, it is greater than the blazing sun as the sun is greater. Amen. It's greater than the blazing sun as the sun is greater than a feeble glow of a single candle. This book is greater than other books. As the Rocky Mountains are as greater as to a grain of sand, this Bible, my friend, is greater than any other book ever known to humanity. It's a combat manual for special spiritual warfare that is the church of Jesus Christ, and it guarantees the victory. What about that? Amen. The world over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. And I like this. I'll get back to preaching here in a minute. I took this rabbit trail on the Bible. It's a two-edged sword that divides light from error. Excuse me, truth from error, light from darkness, sheep from goats, wheat from tares. It's the word of the living God. I think Paul would say, believe it, practice it, live and die by it. The word of God. How many's glad you got a Bible? There's millions that don't. Huh? There's millions that don't. When you think of Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God. Amen. Not only, amen, is it the first declaration of God, but it is the foundational description of God. And I got to hurry. I'm sorry. I'm over just a little bit. You forgive me. But Genesis 1 and 1 is not only important in that we see God revealing himself. Listen to me real close. Boy, there's some powerful stuff if I can get it out. But it is also important in how God revealed himself. As God introduced himself, he simply revealed himself as God. There are many names for God in the Bible. Each name is a revelation of God's person. I know you know that. And each name, there's something about God that is revealed or taught. When God first revealed himself, he could have revealed himself as Jehovah, Father, Lord, or by one of his many other names. But when he first, amen, made himself known, he did so as God. And in so doing, he was laying the foundation for all that he would reveal about himself. I don't want to take this rabbit trail and lose you right here. But if you study the scripture, there is what you call, and this is in hermeneutics and Bible study and things of that nature. Probably some of you maybe never heard of this. But in studying the Bible, in any phase of Bible study, there is what is called the law, quote, the law of first mention. So in other words, you're over in Timothy and you're over in Mark or you're over in Revelation and you find a subject. You go back in the Bible. You trace it all the way back to where it's first mentioned. Amen. And that way you don't get confused and bewildered. Huh? It's called the law of the first mention. By that, I mean that the first, amen, mention of a person, place, doctrine, or word in the Bible, listen closely, gives us an understanding of that truth throughout the rest of the Bible. Did you get that? That's good. For you Bible studies, if you're not a Bible studier, that was boring. But if you're a Bible studier, that's good. The first mention of a person, place, doctrine, or word is an embryo. It's the birth of a feature or fact which there is fuller development. When God revealed himself as God in Genesis 1 and 1, it was foundational. At the very beginning, God wants us to know him as God. He wanted us to know that he was God. The name for God in the Hebrew there in that verse is the word Elohim. I'm sure most of you have heard that. Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim is a compound of two names. Stay with me. It is two names. L-E-L and Allah. A-L-A-H. Not the Allah of the Islam faith. It is found some 2,500 times in the Old Testament alone. The name teaches us, amen, two truths about God. And I'm closing. Come to the piano, hold. The first, it is a God whose power is unlimited. The word, the name El. How many of you ever remember the song El Shaddai? How many of you ever heard the song El Shaddai? So you see where I'm coming? El. Now I know it's a little teaching here, but just stay with me. This word El literally means strong one or almighty. The very first thing that God revealed about himself was that he was the strong one or the almighty one. We've done seen that in Revelation, haven't we? He was declaring that in him was the fullness of might. God was telling us that there was nothing impossible for him to do. Woo! I probably should have let you went home. I'm sorry. He was a God of unlimited power. We read in Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by the great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." What am I saying? I'm telling you, if you're facing a mountain that you can't climb, amen, trust in God. I'm telling you, if you're in a storm and it don't look like there's no sunrise on the horizon, put your confidence in God. Amen. I'm telling you, if it looks like there's no way out of your dilemma and there's no hope, you put your confidence in a God that is almighty. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about this unlimited power of God. And it's very prevalent for right now. Remember that scripture in Job 38:22 that says, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow?" You ever, have you ever read the book of Job? You ever remember reading that? Hast thou entered? Have you looked into the treasures? By the way, y'all need to have special prayer for the snowman out here. He's looking pretty bleak. Some of you didn't see it. He's looking pretty bleak. I told Brother James, I said, need to pray for the snowman outside. He looks pretty bleak. But Job said, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? What was he saying? Job said that there were certain treasures to be found in the snow. One of the treasures we find is that the snow is a demonstration of God's unlimited power. A certain physics has stated that to produce from the vapor of water a quantity of snowflakes which a child could carry, would just to carry in his hand, would demand energy competent to gather up the shattered blocks of the largest stone avalanche of the Alps and pitch them twice the height from which they fell. If it would require that much power to form enough snow for a child to carry, think of the power that is necessary for the formation of a snow that would blanket the entire earth. Well, we've had a lot of it. The nation has had a lot in the last. People don't like it. I'll tell you, God's almighty. He's in control of this thing, church. He said, I'm God. I'm a God of unlimited power. The second meaning, El Allah. Allah. Not sure how you pronounce that in the Hebrew. A-L-A-H. It means to swear, to bind with an oath, or to make a covenant. So what's he saying? In the beginning, God. First he's saying, I'm the Almighty One. I'm the strong. I'm the unlimited power. But then the second meaning of that Hebrew word is means to swear, to bind with an oath, to make a covenant. In the beginning, God was declaring that he was a God who always keeps his word. His word is unquestionable. Anything and everything he says is true. God don't tell a lie. He don't even exaggerate. I never had God to lie to me. He's met my every need. When I quit my job 19, 20 years ago to go full time for the Lord, my daddy said I was crazy. My daddy got very upset with me. Of course, he was lost, and naturally he would, because he seen I had a wife and didn't have any children at that time, and just no money coming in. God dealt with me to go full time, but I've paid every bill. I've paid every bill. I bought houses. I bought new vehicles, several new vehicles. He's helped me pay every bill. Been with me every way. His word is stand true. He is faithful. I'm glad that I serve him, aren't you? I'm glad I know the one and true living God. He never breaks a promise. If you read something in here, he said, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, ask what you will. Let's stand. God never had a need for anything or anyone. He needed nothing to exist. He needed no one to survive. He could have existed in eternity without ever having to make himself known, but he wanted to be known as God. He wanted others to know that he was God. He wants you to know that he's God. This altar is open this morning. Will you come? You need a miracle this morning? You've been fighting unbelief. You've been fighting the enemy of your soul. Come. Trust God this morning.
Comes out to shine the stars and moon. They leave all time. The winds, they blow. We listen.
Oh, yes.
Where we breathe the living air.
Come on, church.
The flowers grow and do not grow.
Yes,
they do not spin or work at all.
This message, I pray you strengthen our faith in you, Lord.
My load is hard to bear.
Sometimes the devil in times of trial will cause us maybe to doubt. There is even a God because of our circumstances. Don't let the devil cause you to ever question the existence of God. God is real. Come on, you that are in that trial, you that are facing that mountain, there's a God. There is a God. There is a God.